Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
So glad that you're with us, largely because of the topic that we're talking about. Derek Prince has been teaching us on the fear of the Lord and clarifying so many confusing issues. On the first day, he talked about the fear of God as opposed to all the false kinds of fear that we often think are the fear of God, like natural fear, demonic fear. He really powerfully taught us about religious fear that besets so many of our lives. And then yesterday, he talked about the fear of the Lord and what it is and what it produces and how the early church walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. All of that so powerful. Now today, he's going to talk about the fear of the Lord as the only source of wisdom. And if the whole idea of fear just turns you off and you think, you know, I don't want to know about this. I've got enough fear in my life, then I want to say to you that you've got the wrong kind of fear operating in your life. The fear of the Lord brings peace. It brings wisdom. It brings moral passion. And these are things we need to welcome into our lives. Now, if you have missed any of this, or if you're going to in the next couple of days, because we'll be on this throughout the week, log on to derekprince.org. You'll find all kinds of great teaching, every session of this particular teaching series, and a lot of other wonderful material about Derek Prince Ministries besides. Well, let's get to it. Let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches on the fear of the Lord.
Job chapter 28, verses 20 through 28. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Notice, wisdom is not found in the sensible world, in the world of the senses, in the natural world. Then it says, destruction and death say. We have heard a report about it with our ears. It's somewhere in that world beyond destruction and death, in the eternal world. And then Job goes on to say, God understands its way and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens. God views the whole of the created universe. To establish a weight for the wind and mete out the waters by measure. Everything in the universe is measured and appointed by God with exact proportions. When he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, even the storms are under the control of divine wisdom. Then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. You see, God's wisdom is expressed in the entire universe. Everything in the universe expresses some aspect of God's wisdom. And that total wisdom of God is staggering. Our finite minds cannot comprehend it. But God says, if you want access to my wisdom, if you want me to begin to release my wisdom into your life, then there's one channel through which it can come to you. That is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom for man. That's the only way that man can attain to true wisdom, is through the fear of the Lord. And it's joined with living a life of righteousness. To depart from evil is understanding. It's very important to see that wisdom has a moral foundation. Today there's an attitude, just be clever. And you make your way through life. It doesn't matter what kind of character you have. It doesn't matter what kind of life you lead. Just if you're smart, if you're well-educated, if you're unscrupulous, you'll succeed. That's not true. Ultimately, it is not true. Wisdom has a moral foundation. It begins with the fear of the Lord and is expressed in understanding by departing from evil. And then again, in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 111, verse 10, the psalmist says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The word translated beginning can also mean the principal part. It's the basis and foundation of all wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. Again, understanding is linked with obedience to the commandments of God. It has a moral aspect. Wisdom is the primary thing. Out of wisdom proceeds understanding. Understanding, in its original Hebrew form, means insight. into the real nature and essence of persons and situations. That's much more than cleverness. A clever person can be easily fooled, sometimes by other people. But a person with understanding sees into the very nature of the person he's dealing with, or the very essence of the situation that he has to handle. And then the book of Proverbs takes this yet further. Chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The same statement again. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We see that out of the fear of the Lord comes a wisdom that enables us to relate to God's holiness. And as we relate to God's holiness, we move and live in that cleansing, sanctifying fear of the Lord that causes us to depart from evil and to keep the Lord's commandments. Now, wisdom, spoken of in the Scripture, is different. There's a statement in Psalm 51, verse 6, made by David, which comes to the very heart of this matter. He's speaking to the Lord out of a broken, penitent heart, and he says this, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom." God desires truth in the inward parts. That comes from the fear of the Lord. And when we have truth in the inward part, when we're sincere and upright and open with God, then it goes on to say, in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. You see, wisdom is not in the intellect. It's not in the mind. Wisdom is in the hidden part of man, the spirit of man, the innermost depths of man. And that's where God wants us to cultivate the fear of the Lord, that we may receive his wisdom. The only channel to receive the wisdom of God is the fear of the Lord. There's no other way that God's wisdom can come into our lives but through the fear of the Lord. And that wisdom will not come primarily into our intellects, although it will illuminate our intellects. It will not be a substitute for education. It will not do for us what education will do. It is unique. It is something entirely on its own. It comes into the spirit and enables us to begin to see God's purposes, to see our life, to see the things around us in the light of divine purpose, divine counsel. Counsel is something that lies very closely in Scripture with wisdom. When we have this kind of wisdom, we receive God's counsel. We know how to act in different situations. We know how to relate to different people. We know how to help people. There's another statement in the book of Ecclesiastes. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom shows us the way to go. Wisdom steers us past the pitfalls and snares of life, its hidden dangers. But this wisdom is in the hidden part. It's in the innermost chambers of man's spirit. And there's only one avenue to that hidden part in man. We cannot achieve it by intellectual education. We can open up to God and the channel through which God will impart his wisdom into the hidden part in you and me. Is the fear of the Lord. Ask God to open that channel up to you.
You know, one of the great truths of the Bible is that everything has a moral side to it. We don't just receive things directly by the Spirit for the most part. I mean, we do upon occasion, but so many times the character that God is trying to work into our lives is connected to the forces he's trying to release into our hearts. And this is surely one of them. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We can pray for wisdom. We can ask for wisdom. God will give liberally, but the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the principal part or the major portion of having wisdom. Lord, give us that fear of you so that we can have wisdom that comes from you. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
The Bible proclaims, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. In his classic book, The Holy Spirit in You, Derek Prince reveals how this third member of the Trinity desires to be your supernatural helper. Through its pages, Derek clearly explains the ways of the Holy Spirit and how he works in the lives of believers. You'll discover that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can experience the presence of Jesus, pray according to God's will, receive greater understanding of the Scriptures, and receive healing in your life. To order your own copy of Derek's book, The Holy Spirit in You, simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit wants to bring you comfort and power. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of The Holy Spirit in You securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for joining us. And we are in the middle here of a series by Derek Prince on the fear of the Lord. One of the themes he's about to talk about is the theme of depth and reality to our Christian lives. Man, those are two themes that particularly the young today are pursuing in spiritual things. They want depth. They want reality. They don't want superficiality. They don't want acting. They don't want just mile wide and inch deep spirituality. They want depth and reality. And Derek is about to teach us that the fear of the Lord takes us there. Let's listen as Derek Prince teaches us on the fear of the Lord as the only source of wisdom.
We'll turn to Psalm 2, verse 11, which says this, and it's addressed actually to the rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. We find there a paradox that we've noticed already several times in this series of talks, the relationship between fear and rejoicing. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. The rejoicing is, as it were, sandwiched in between the fear and the trembling. Now, that doesn't make much sense to the natural mind. The natural mind says, if there's fear, I can't rejoice. If I'm rejoicing, there's no room for fear. But that's not the way it works in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, it is actually the fear of the Lord that releases the rejoicing. And without the fear of the Lord, our rejoicing will be very shallow and impermanent. So we learn again from this scripture in Psalm 2, that there's spiritual safety in this balance between the fear of the Lord on the one hand and rejoicing in the Lord on the other hand. And let me warn you that if you ever move out of the fear of the Lord, you may seek to be happy, you may seek to rejoice, you may seek to work up spiritual experience, but it will be shallow and it will be impermanent. It takes the fear of the Lord to give depth and reality to our joy in the Lord. We saw this already in the picture of the early church, which we looked at last week. We just look at that scripture again in Acts 9, verse 31, where the writer says, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified or built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." Again, the same paradox, the fear of the Lord, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The natural mind says, if there's fear, where's the comfort? But that's not the way it works in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, the comfort is for those who walk in the fear of the Lord. God does not comfort us when we're self-indulgent, when we take the reins into our own hands, when we desire to run our lives irrespective of the Lord's requirements. God withdraws his comfort. So there we have the paradox, the fear of the Lord, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, rejoicing, but with trembling. And then we look on in Psalm 19, verse 9, which says this, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." Note that. There's never an end to the fear of the Lord. It's a permanent requirement of God and a permanent provision of God. Again, the immature Christian might say, well, when I really become mature, there'll be no more room for the fear of the Lord. Believe me, if anything, it works the opposite way. The further you go in maturity, the more you will be conscious of the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord endures forever. And then it says, the fear of the Lord is clean. That's a beautiful statement. There's a cleansing power in the fear of the Lord that keeps us from the contamination and defilement of sin and of this world. The world we live in is a very contaminated world. We talk much today about pollution, and that's in the physical realm. But much worse is pollution in the spiritual realm. So much of what we hear, so much of what we read, so much of what we see on television, so much of what we may be surrounded with at our place of work or wherever it may be, is impure. It's unclean. It breaks down our moral fiber. We need something to protect us, to keep us from this contamination. The psalmist has pointed us to God's provision. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. We look on now a little further in the book of Psalms to Psalm 34, verses 11 through 14, where the psalmist says, inspired by the Holy Spirit and really speaking on behalf of God and of the Holy Spirit, "Come, you children," and I think this is addressed to God's children, "come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." That's the Holy Spirit speaking through Scripture to God's children. And it brings out certain extremely important features of the fear of the Lord. First, it has to be taught. The Holy Spirit says, "I will teach you the fear of the Lord." If we're not willing to be taught, if we have an unteachable spirit and an unteachable attitude, if we're not willing to receive counsel and correction, like the people that we spoke about in the first chapter of Proverbs who refused wisdom's appeal, if we're not willing to be taught, then we cannot receive the fear of the Lord.
You know, one of the great arts of the Christian life is to cultivate a teachable heart. And Derek has just shown us that being willing to be taught, being pliable, being open to the fact that we don't know everything, that we need to receive more that we than we have, is a key to receiving the fear of the Lord. And that, in turn, is a key to long life. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, give us a pliability, a teachability by your Holy Spirit that welcomes the fear of the Lord and grants us not only a life that pleases you, but a long life. In Jesus' name, amen. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
The Bible proclaims, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes." In his classic book, The Holy Spirit in You, Derek Prince reveals how this third member of the Trinity desires to be your supernatural helper. Through its pages, Derek clearly explains the ways of the Holy Spirit and how he works in the lives of believers. You'll discover that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can experience the presence of Jesus, pray according to God's will, receive greater understanding of the Scriptures, and receive healing in your life. To order your own copy of Derek's book, The Holy Spirit in You, simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit wants to bring you comfort and power. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of The Holy Spirit in You securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's great to have you here with us on this Wednesday. Derek Prince is teaching us about the fear of the Lord. And one of the great truths of Scripture that Derek is capturing for us is that the fear of the Lord is practical, that it is an inducement to holiness, that it gets down into the nitty-gritty of our lives. You know, not long ago, I was driving down the road, and I had trash in my front seat, and I literally rolled down my car window to throw it out on the beautiful Tennessee highways, and suddenly, I was struck with the fact that it wasn't about the police or the highway or whether I wanted to taint that highway in any way. It was about the fact that God was watching, and I was suddenly aware that God cares about things just like that. Well, Derek is about to talk to us about the tongue and the power of our tongue to do evil and how we need to, in a sense, clean up our tongue in the fear of the Lord. Okay, brace yourself. It's probably going to be convicting, but it's necessary. Let's listen as Derek Prince teaches us about the fear of the Lord.
The first area of our life in which the fear of the Lord will be manifested is our tongue. Keep your tongue from evil. A person who does not control his tongue is not walking in the fear of the Lord. It manifests itself in words that are well chosen, without exaggeration, without foolishness, without lightness. A kind of solemnity expresses itself through the tongue of the one who walks in the fear of the Lord. The third feature brought out there is that the fear of the Lord leaves no room for compromise with evil. It says, depart from evil and do good. And the fourth feature is that the fear of the Lord offers us life, many days that we may see good. You'll find that this is continually emphasized in the book of Psalms and in the book of Proverbs, that the fear of the Lord brings us to life, a good life, a long life, many days. Finally, we'll turn on in the Psalms to Psalm 128, and we'll read the first four verses, which provide us a beautiful picture of the man who fears the Lord and all the blessings that are his. Psalm 128, verses 1 through 4. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor, blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. What all-inclusive blessings. Blessings for the man, blessings for the work that he does, blessings for his home, blessings for his wife, blessings for his children. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. All these are promised to the man who fears the Lord and who walks in the ways of the Lord. Let me commend these scriptures that we've looked at today. I suggest that you obtain the cassette of these messages so that you can go over these scriptures again and again and meditate on them until they really become part of your life.
You know, we need to take a minute here to really do business with God on this issue of the tongue. Because I've watched so many Christians excuse themselves from the requirements of the Bible when it comes to our tongue, when it comes to the things that we say. You know, it's become cool in some parts of Christianity to use off-color language and to speak in harsh terms, but the Bible says, let your speech be seasoned with grace. It's become cool in some parts of the Christian world to start a sentence with, well, let me just be honest. And then somehow that makes it legal, so to speak, for the person to then just pour out absolute bile and trash and material that just should not be heard by anybody. And I'm going to tell you that a lot of that comes from the fact that we watch such garbage in media. You know, a generation or two ago, our spiritual grandparents would have been horrified by the things that we now watch as entertainment. It's interesting. We're now choosing to drink in more garbage in the form of entertainment than other people were ever around, even out in the world and in the culture. So the point is not to minister condemnation here at the end of our time together today. The point is to say that there definitely is a need for us to renovate, to clean up the tongue. And one of the great statements that Derek illuminated for us a while ago is that the fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord removes all the nastiness and the garbage and the muck and the mire, and it allows us to live a clean life. So, Father, we turn to you in the name of Jesus. We know that apart from you, we don't have the power to tame the tongue, but we do want to perfect holiness in the fear of God. And so we ask you in the name of Jesus now to grant us a fine-tuning of our sensibilities about the use of our tongue, whether it's cussing or it's gossip or it's sharing harsh things, or it's even just processing things we read in the news. Lord, what garbage we have dumped on us these days through the media. Let us, Father, not be repeaters of the unclean, but rather let us perfect holiness in our tongues through the fear of the Lord. This is our prayer, and we thank you for these great truths being embedded in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, if you've missed any of this, or if you're going to miss our next few sessions together, log on to the website at derekprince.org and really let the Word plant itself in your soul. That's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your copy of Derek's book, The Holy Spirit in You, available for only $8.95. To order, simply call us toll-free. 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Our numbers again, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's DerekPrince.org.